Lord help us to commence this evening with hymn 1134. Come, gracious Spirit, heavenly dove, with light and comfort from above. Our waiting souls set free, be thou our guardian, thou our guide, our every thought and step preside, and draw us after thee. 1134.
Thank you. We will read together from God's holy word, the book of Revelation, chapters 18 and 19. The book of the Revelation, chapter 18 and chapter 19. And after these things I saw another angel come down from heaven, having great power. And the earth was lightened with his glory. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and is become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and a cage of every unclean and hateful bird. For all nations have drunk of the wine of the wrath of her fornication, and the kings of the earth have committed fornication with her, and the merchants of the earth are waxed rich through the abundance of her delicacies. And I heard another voice from heaven saying, Come out of her, my people, that ye be not partakers of her sins, and that ye receive not of her plagues. For her sins have reached into heaven, and God hath remembered her iniquities. Reward her, even as she rewarded you, and double unto her double, according to her works. In the cup which she hath filled, fill to her double. How much she hath glorified herself, and lived deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen, and am no widow, and shall see no sorrow. Therefore shall her plagues come in one day, death and mourning and famine. And she shall be utterly burned with fire, for strong is the Lord God who judgeth her. And the kings of the earth who have committed fornication and live deliciously with her shall bewail her and lament for her when they shall see the smoke of her burning. Stand afar off for the fear of her torment, saying, Alas, alas, that great city Babylon, that mighty city, for in one hour is thy judgment come. And the merchants of the earth shall weep and mourn over her, for no man buyeth their merchandise any more. The merchandise of gold and silver and precious stones, and of pearls and fine linen, and purple and silk and scarlet, and all fine wood, and all manner of vessels of ivory, and all manner of vessels of most precious wood, and of brass, and iron, and marble, and cinnamon, and odours, and ointments, and frankincense, and wine, and oil, and fine flour, and wheat, and beasts, and sheep, and horses, and chariots, and slaves, and souls of men, and the fruits that thy soul lusted after are departed from thee, and all things which were dainty and goodly are departed from thee, and thou shalt find them no more at all. The merchants of these things which were made rich by her shall stand afar off for the fear of her torment, weeping and wailing, and saying, Alas, alas, that great city that was clothed in fine linen and purple and scarlet and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls, for in one hour so great riches is come to naught. And every shipmaster and all accompanying ships and sailors and as many as traded by sea stood afar off and cried when they saw the smoke of her burning, saying, what city is like unto this great city? And they cast dust on their heads and cried, weeping and wailing, saying, Alas, alas, that great city, wherein were made rich all that had ships in the sea, by reason of her costliness. For in one hour is she made desolate. Rejoice over her, thou heaven, and ye holy apostles and prophets, for God hath avenged you on her. And a mighty angel took up a stone, like a great millstone, and cast it into the sea, saying, Thus with violence shall that great city Babylon be thrown down, and shall be found no more at all. And the voice of harpers, and musicians, and of pipers, and trumpeters shall be heard no more at all in thee. And no craftsman of whatsoever craft he be shall be found any more in thee. And the sound of a millstone shall be heard no more at all in thee. And the light of a candle shall shine no more at all in thee. And the voice of the bridegroom and of the bride shall be heard no more at all in thee. For thy merchants were the great men of the earth, for by thy sorceries were all nations deceived. And in her was found the blood of prophets and of saints and of all that was slain upon the earth. And after these things I heard a great voice of much people in heaven, saying, Alleluia, salvation and glory and honour and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are his judgments. For he hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication, and hath avenged the blood of his servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia, and her smoke rose up for ever and ever. And the 24 elders and the 4 beasts fell down and worshipped God, that sat on the throne, saying, Amen, Alleluia. And a voice came out of the throne, saying, Praise our God, all ye his servants, and ye that fear him, both small and great. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, and as the voice of many waters, and as the voice of mighty thundering, saying, Alleluia, for the Lord God omnipotent reigneth. Let us be glad and rejoice, and give honour to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, Write, Blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said unto me, These are the true sayings of God. And I fell at his feet to worship him. And he said unto me, See thou do it not. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And I saw heaven opened, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat upon him was called Faithful and True, and in righteousness he doth judge and make war. His eyes were a flame of fire, and on his head were many crowns, and he had a name written that no man knew but himself. And he was clothed with a vesture dipped in blood, and his name is called the Word of God. And the armies which were in heaven followed him upon white horses, clothed in fine linen, white and clean. And out of his mouth goeth a sharp sword, that with it he should smite the nations, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, and he treadeth the winepress of the fierceness and wrath of Almighty God. And he hath on his vesture and on his thigh a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And I saw an angel standing in the sun, and he cried with a loud voice, saying to all the fowls that fly in the midst of the heaven, Come and gather yourselves together unto the supper of the great God, that ye may eat the flesh of kings, and the flesh of captains, and the flesh of mighty men, and the flesh of horses, and of them that sit on them, and the flesh of all men, both free and bond, both small and great. And I saw the beast and the kings of the earth and their armies gathered together to make war against him that sat on the horse and against his army. And the beast was taken, and with him the false prophets that wrought miracles before him, with which he deceived them that had received the mark of the beast, and them that worshipped his image. These both were cast alive into a lake of fire, burning with brimstone. And the remnant were slain with the sword of him that sat upon the horse, which sword proceedeth out of his mouth. And all the fowls were filled with their flesh. May God bless that reading of his holy word and teach us how to pray. Most holy, almighty, merciful Lord God in heaven, we've read of that last great judgment upon this sinful earth. We do pray, Lord, that we may be found numbered amongst thy dear people, that none of us may be found numbered with the goats, but we may be found amongst the sheep in Christ's fold. Oh, dear Lord Jesus, do by thy grace prevent these things, Lord, the sins that do beset us. O Lord, do prevent us each by thy grace from perishing in our sins. May we each be found sheltered beneath that precious blood, to be found partakers at that marriage supper of the Lamb. O Lord, we do pray that thou would have mercy upon us. Lord, we do pray that thou would bless us each as we gather in thy house this night. O Lord, may we not leave thy house with our hearts unmoved and untouched. O Lord, we pray that we may feel something from thy gracious word, entering in with power by thy Holy Spirit, that we may not go on in our little lives another round of service, another week ahead, like that door and its hinges swinging backwards and forwards, a coming and going and nothing being done. But Lord, who lift us, oh, touch our hearts with love divine. Do bless us indeed, we pray. May it please thee to lift the gloom and part the clouds. Oh, we long to feel thy touch. Lord, we mourn the coldness, the staleness, the lukewarmness. Oh, do come right where we are. Touch the mountains that they may flow down at thy presence. Enter into our souls, we pray, and quicken us and make us alive, lively in the things of God. May our hearts be burning within us as we leave thy house this night. Oh, may hope be given and Oh, those doubts removed, and fear and unbelief, Lord, do shed abroad thy love in our hearts. Oh, Lord, do have mercy. We have another week ahead of us if spared. But, oh, Lord, we can't venture without thee. Oh, do go on before. And may we feel thy presence daily. May we feel that nearness, that leaning on thee. Oh, Lord, do not dwell at a distance from us. We know, Lord, we deserve thy wrath, but we plead for mercy. We plead for mercy through that precious blood. We plead for mercy at that throne of grace. Oh, Lord, we ask that thou would have mercy upon us and look down in love and mercy and grant us a sense of thy presence in our hearts now and as we leave. May we know thy abiding presence with us. So, Lord, do return and pour out blessings from on high. Oh, and those, Lord, who long to feel, that those that are hoping for a hope, those that are waiting upon thee, be not silent to them. Oh, but do open thy kind hand. May this be the glad hour. May they hear thy voice. Lord, do send out thy light and thy truth into our hearts, and may we know thy rich blessing. We pray for mercy on our souls. Do wash us and make us clean. Lord, we mourn those sins. Lord, we look back over the past week. We've much to mourn over. And Lord, we look forward and, oh, we shrink from the unknown way. Oh, but Lord, do speak a fear not into our hearts. May it be certainly I am with thee. Oh, do lead us on then, and guide us and keep us, and deliver us from the power of sin and Satan. And may we know that liberty of the gospel. May we not, oh, be living in fear, but may we be living in the love of Christ, that love that casteth out all fear. Oh, Lord, do bless us with that sense of dying love as we look to thee as sinners, needing, pleading for salvation. Lord, do turn and smile upon us. May we hear that voice saying, this was done for you. Say again to my soul, I am thy salvation. Oh Lord, do be with us as we meet round thy table at the close of this service. Lord, we pray that our hearts may be touched. And as we seek to remember what thou hast done, Lord, do soften our poor hard hearts. Oh, Lord, may a few precious drops of blood be shed into our hearts. Apply there, and may we know and feel the effect. Oh, Lord, we do pray for each who gather here this evening. Thou knowest, Lord, how they've come, their needs providentially, spiritually. Each heart is open to thee. We do pray, dear Lord, that thou suit thy word to meet each case. May there be those good things done this day in the name of the Holy Child Jesus. Do glorify thyself in our midst. Do reveal thyself to us. Christ revealed, Christ made precious. Lord, we pray that thou touch each heart, leave none empty, passed by. May, Lord, every soul this night receive from thy kind hand. May there be that desire in each soul are seeking after thee, longing after thee. Oh Lord, we pray, may there be that Spirit's work within each soul. We do ask, Lord, that any souls that are here that feel not the need of thee, that thou wilt quicken them and open their eyes. Lord, convince them of their sin, then lead to Jesus' blood. Be with from the youngest to the eldest, in all the things that they pass through, all the things they're in this evening, disappointments, troubles, fears, Lord, thou knowest the varying concerns. Lord, do enable them each to cast all their care upon thee. How we need that grace and that spirit of submission. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt cause us each to call upon thy great and holy name. We may not be left to that great day when each tongue shall confess that thou art the Lord God, but may we be found, while it is today, calling upon thee. And Lord, we do pray that thou wilt be with those unable to be here, for varying reasons, Lord, thou knowest. But thou art not bound by walls. And we do pray that thou go where they are this night, and do bless them indeed. And be with any with affliction and ill health. Those who feel the grasshopper to become a burden, the things they once did with ease now becoming more difficult. Those burden bearing the heat and burden of the day, with hardly a moment's time to pause and consider. Yet, Lord, do keep us from the busyness that Satan would have us in, that we may not have time for any right thoughts. Lord, do help us in these things. Thou knowest the busyness of our day. Do, Lord, help us and have mercy upon us. And we pray for those expecting the birth of little ones. We would remember them each, Lord, in their pathways. Oh, Lord, and at the time that the delivery comes, if it's thy will, oh, may they know that they're safe in their Redeemer's hands, who bears their names upon his heart. To give them a sense of thy presence, Lord, in the hour of delivery. And do help them, we pray. Bear them up. Bring them safely through. May those little lives be granted. May they be precious in thy sight. May those children be thy children. May they be pillars in thy church. Lord, we pray that for this rising generation. We thank thee for the young people and the children that are here. And we will not take these things for granted, and pray that thy fear may be found in their hearts. There may be that good thing toward the Lord God of Israel found within each soul. They may not depart from thee all the days of their lives. Oh, but do keep them, and keep us each. Thou knowest, Lord, the enemy goes about like a roaring lion, seeking to devour whom he may. Oh, do keep us, be that wall of fire round about, and save us from the rocks and shelves, and save us chiefly from ourselves. Oh, Lord, do help us then. Teach us what we are before thee. Oh, to be made wise unto salvation. Lord, do have mercy upon us now as we turn to thy word. Oh, we pray that thou apply thy word with power, that though delivered in weakness it may be, in power, and in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. and that the application of the word may be by thy Holy Spirit sealed into our hearts. For blessed are they that hear the word of God and keep it. Oh, may it find that abiding place. May it not be forgotten by the morning, but oh, may it remain as that good seed entering in and bringing forth fruit for eternal life and for thy honour, glory and praise. Do pardon our many sins. We are poor sinners. Lord, do remember us each for good. And have mercy, we pray, as we ask for Jesus Christ's sake. Amen.
Hymn 181. Believers own they are but blind, they know themselves unwise, but wisdom in the Lord they find, who opens all their eyes. 181.
Will you turn with me to the book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 50. With the Lord's help this evening, I'll speak to you from the 20th verse. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. The book of the prophet Jeremiah, chapter 50, and the 20th verse. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Jerusalem, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. The context of this verse is really in the context of those two chapters we read in the book of the Revelation. The certain destruction and desolation of Babylon, and the redemption of Israel. And we have the prophecy in Jeremiah of the literal overthrowing of Babylon, and we have that as a figure and type. And then we have in the Revelation the teaching in that beautiful book that closes the Word of God, the utter and complete destruction of Satan and his empire, the bringing down of the Babylon of this world, the overthrow, the victory, a conquering Saviour, and the redeemed of the Lord, safe at last. My beloved friends, you know, there's many things in the Revelation, many things that we don't understand, mystical things, the things that are really that vision. And some have tried to interpret this and that, but really, it's that general comfort to the work, to the Lord's people, that there will be this conflict. And you can take the book of Revelation as being a vision, a story, if you like, of your own heart. There'll be that warfare, that conflict with the world. Oh, but that be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. The triumph of good over evil. The Lord Jesus coming again, receiving his people into heaven, and bringing about that end of the world, casting those into hell, and saving his people with an everlasting salvation. And oh, friends, may that be our concern, that our names are written in that book of life. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. It's certain to happen. There's a certainty to it. Oh, friends, may the Lord open our eyes. Because you and I by nature are blinded to these things. And we're deaf to the warnings. And we won't see the danger except the Lord open our eyes. Oh, may that be your desire. That if you see no danger, Lord, open thou mine eyes. Oh, that you may be made aware of your blindness and seek for that opening of your blind eyes to him who who has compassion on his people. There's a beautiful promise that our dear Saviour uttered with his own lips. And it was at that commencement of his ministry here below, Matthew chapter 5, that begins with that Sermon on the Mount. And we have, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness." And then the promise, "For they shall be filled." Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. And the certainty of it, friends, this evening, they shall be filled. They must be filled. Oh, and if you, by the grace of God this evening, can say, "Well, that's me. What I have or haven't got this evening, that's my soul's condition. I'm hungering and I'm thirsting after righteousness. I see my own righteousness as filthy rags, and I'm hungering and I'm thirsting after the righteousness which is in Jesus." Oh, then, friends, there's a certainty to it. "Ye shall be filled." Oh, the promises of God's word, the glories of the gospel. Oh, may the Lord seal this word home into your heart this evening. "For in those days and in that time," and there is that time coming. And beloved friends, none of us know when that time will be. But there's one thing that's certain: it will come. And whether we are taken in death before that great day, or whether we are alive at that great day, there will be no escaping. That commandment went forth before this world was in being, when this world will end. When that great trumpet shall be blown, and heaven rolled up as a scroll, and the Son of Man appearing in all his glory. Oh, and may you and I think upon these things and tremble. Oh, am I made a real Christian? Oh, to examine ourselves. Have I the evidence in my life, the marks of grace? Have I any evidence of being found numbered amongst this remnant? Through the word of God, the Lord's dear children are mentioned, spoken of as a remnant. And that they're set apart. This text this evening speaks of them as being reserved. But there's a remnant. Oh, it's a number that no man can number. But I'm sure in percentage terms, it's a remnant. In Zechariah, he speaks of it being a third part. He says two parts were passed through, and one part, two-thirds, he says, "It shall come to pass that in the land, in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. They shall call on my name, and I will hear them. I will say, it is my people, and they shall say, the Lord is my God." Oh, and I ask you, in love this evening, oh, have you a little hope that you're numbered in that third part? What does it speak of? The other two parts, they're cut off and die. They live their lives and they die. But this third part, that the Lord is working in their hearts. There's this Third part, they're brought through the fire. The fire is permitted to touch them. You know, there's to be some refining. There's to be some work taking place in their souls. They're not what they should be. They're not what they need to be. The Lord must bring them through the fire. They're to be taught by the Spirit of God. They're to be led into His Word. They're to have those precious promises sealed into their hearts. And there's to be some rubbish burnt away first. Oh, there's to be some emptying, pride, and sin, besetting sins. There's that east wind that must blow through and strip out any self-righteousness, anything that's coming short of Christ. All the dross, all the tin must be burnt away, and He does it in love. Oh, and He's kind and He's gracious in it. And it's a loving hand that holds them in that furnace. And He knows when the work is done. And it's not a moment too long or a moment too short. It's a perfect work. They must come forth as gold. Some image of Him must be seen in them. And in their own sinful state, nothing of Him is seen in them. And so there must be this refining. And I'll bring the third part through the fire, and He'll do it. It's His work. Oh, it's His work and His alone. And I will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried, and they shall call on My name. You see, that's what it's got to be. That soul must be brought to call on Him. His word says, call on Me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me. But we know we won't call upon Him in the day of trouble, except He make us. Because we're not that disposition, are we? We're independent. Well, we have a proud spirit. Ask for help? Never. Seek the Lord? Impossible, except by His grace. And He will make them. I will refine them. I will try them. And they shall call on My name. Oh, has He brought you there? Oh, has He brought you there to His feet? Friends, what a place. What a place. Brought to His feet. Oh, you say, you look back with shame. You say He did bring me there. Oh, but to my shame I confess how unwilling, how stubborn was my heart. Oh, he forced me there. And I thank Him. I praise God He did. Oh, but such is my sinfulness. Such is my sinful state. Oh, He forced me there. Oh, He had to strip me of things. Props in my life. My pride had to be removed. Oh, but blessed be His name that He did it. For where would we be without it? Forced to His feet, they shall call on My name, and I will hear them. He that hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. And I will hear them. I will say it is My people. And to Him will I look. And who is it? Him that is of a poor and of a contrite heart that trembleth at My word. And to Him will I look, even to Him that is poor and of a contrite heart. And that's, friends, where you and I must be brought in measure. Porn of a contrite heart, at the end of everything, nothing left of our own self to plead, stripped of it all, no more strength of our own to weave our own righteousness, stripped and emptied, spent our strength at his feet, broken and of a contrite heart. And he said, I will look to him. Oh, he'll have mercy upon him. Why, it's his work. It's his work. And he delights to hear and answer those crying at his feet. I will hear them. I will say, it is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. Oh, and in those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for. What a wonderful thing. Can you think on such high things this evening? That as you end your days here upon earth, and you launch into those worlds unseen, and when that great day of reckoning arrives, and you stand before the judgment seat of Christ, and Satan is there to rail on you and to plead against you, and when your sins are looked for, when those iniquities are looked for, when all those dreadful things you've done in the flesh are looked for, they can't be found. The iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. Can you think that high this evening? Oh, what a prospect for every child of God. Name in that book of life. Oh, what's the chargeable to their account? Oh, written next to their name, Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Oh, precious blood, cleansing from all sin and uncleanness. There shall be none. Oh, there shall be none. You say, oh, well, why don't I feel it this evening? Why is it? I do feel a sweet persuasion. Oh, I do have that hope in him. Oh, but I'm not there. I can see my sin. Oh, it's besetting me. It's everywhere I turn. Satan keeps pointing at it. It's everywhere. It's all in me and about me. I feel to be a mass of sin, a body of sin. I'm in this body of sin. And I've no rest. I feel that conflict. Oh, is it possible? Is it possible that when I close my eyes on this life, that my sins will be remembered no more? It is possible. And it will be. So, dear child of God, there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. And they can't be found. Why? As he's taken all their transgressions upon himself, and he's borne them all away. You know, that's a lovely, isn't it? A lovely type of Christ in that ceremonial law, the scapegoat. When the sins of the children of Israel were laid ceremonially on that scapegoat, and it was sent away into the desert, never to be seen by man again. Oh, what a type of the Lord Jesus Christ, who bore all their sins upon himself and bore them all away, carried them away that they shall be seen no more. My mind went to the last chapter in the book of Micah this afternoon. Who is a God like unto thee that pardoneth iniquity and passeth by the transgression of the remnant of his heritage? He retaineth not his anger forever, because he delighteth in mercy. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. He will subdue our iniquities, and thou wilt cast all their sins into the depths of the sea, casting all our sins behind his back, remembering them no more, blotting them out as a thick cloud, our many transgressions. He will turn again. He will have compassion upon us. Oh, you say, I felt it once. Oh, can I feel it again, dear Lord? Oh, that sweet persuasion that I am indeed loved with his everlasting love. Oh, turn again. Fill my heart with that love of Christ. For that sets a poor sinner and lifts him above the reach of inferior things, above Satan's temptations, above his onslaught, above all the doubt and fear. It lifts the sinner out and above his sins. You know, some of the Lord's dear children, even here below, have felt a sense of that. You know, that looking for their sin, and for a moment not being able to find it. Oh, well, they can't live like that here below. There's a little season maybe here. Oh, but there's an eternity of it. Oh, the safety of the people of God, the certainty of this complete redemption and salvation. The iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. Who is a God like unto thee? In verse 8 of... In verse 5 of this chapter 50, we have a verse speaking of this remnant. And it says this, or verse 4 begins the same, "In those days and in that time, saith the Lord, the children of Israel shall come, they and the children of Judah together, going and weeping." You see, this is the children of God being brought out of captivity. "They shall go and seek the Lord their God." And this is it. "They shall ask the way to Zion with their faces thitherward." Oh, you amongst those. You see, this is a mark of those that will inherit this exceeding precious promise in verse 20. This is a mark of those that are bound up in this group, this number, for whom I will pardon. It's these souls who are brought in their little lives to ask their way to Zion. Asking their way to Zion with their faces thitherward, saying, "Come, let us join ourselves to the Lord in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten." Oh, they're asking their way to Zion. They're following in the footsteps of the flock. They're following them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. They're marking the way the flock of Christ is walking. They're desiring to be followers of them. And more than that, they're desiring to follow the Good Shepherd. And they're asking their way to Zion. They're seeking the Lord while he may be found. They're calling upon him while he is near. They're made by the desires in their heart, put there by the Holy Spirit. They're made diligent in this seeking. Maybe it begins in a more general way, naturally speaking, but if it's the work of Almighty God, it becomes that urgent, pressing case. Oh, and there's that urgency. There's that one thing needful. And there's a longing and a seeking and a thirsting after him. And they can't be satisfied with anything short of Christ. It's give me Christ or else I die. Oh, there's other things that once took their attraction. Oh, but now it's Christ. I must have him or perish. Oh, I must be found in him. Oh, I must know him. Know him personally. Know him savingly. They're asking their way to Zion with their faces thitherward. And the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found. For I will pardon them whom I reserve. Pardon them. Forgive them of all their sins, all those things they've done wrong in their lives, all those many faults and failings. There's a pardon here for sinners. And oh, may the Lord grant us that desire in our hearts to know this pardon. And how is this pardon brought about? Well, the dear Son of God himself, taking upon him the form of a servant, becoming a real man, living a life they couldn't live, and laying down that sinless, spotless life as that sacrifice for sin. Thinking again of those words in that day. Oh, we have that beautiful word in Zechariah chapter 13. In that day there shall be a fountain opened to the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness. Beloved friends, there is a fountain filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. And there is a fountain, and it's opened for sin and for uncleanness. The fountain of blood in the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Oh, and that fountain opened in that garden off Gethsemane, when his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground, as he was pressed beyond measure, as the wrath of an angered God was poured out upon his soul. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Oh, and he bore that sin for his people. Oh, do you long to know an interest in it? Oh, Lord, did thou walk into that garden for me? For he did, for these of whom he's reserved, these that are the called according to his purpose. Oh, may you and I be numbered amongst them. Lord, was my name on thy heart, in thy mind, as thou didst walk into that garden, obedience to the Father's will, bearing that wrath, as his father turned away his face. He said, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. And the father turns, the full fury of an eternity of punishment for every child of God descends on the dear Redeemer. In that garden, the fountain opened. Ah, the fountain's opened for sin and for uncleanness. And as that crown of thorns placed on his head, and that reed with which he was smote upon, and the shedding of blood, and the nails, and the spear. Oh, beloved friends, the fountain, that of God's own providing. Oh, no other sacrifice suitable, no other sacrifice can accomplish such a great salvation. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? Oh, friends, to be brought as a sinner to his feet, brought to the feet of the dear Redeemer, brought to the feet of the Lord Jesus on the cross at Calvary, to lift up your head by faith, looking away from yourself and looking to him. Oh, they shall look upon me, whom they have pierced, and mourn for him, mourn for him. I will pardon them. I will pardon them. 50 pence, 500 pence sinners, I will pardon them. That woman at the feet of Jesus, the whole town knew she was a great sinner. Simon the Pharisee, scoffing in his mind, questioning whether the Lord Jesus was indeed a prophet. If this man were a prophet, you know what sinner it was that toucheth him. And there the Lord Jesus knew her from all eternity, knew her heart, knew her life. He saw her ruined in the fall, yet loved her notwithstanding all. Woman, thy sins are forgiven thee. Oh, he said unto her, thy sins are forgiven. Forgiven. Pardon. A full and frank forgiveness. Nothing to pay. The debt is paid. And they shall not be found. Forever. Blotted out. Remembered no more. As a cloud is blown away from and a clear blue sky is then seen. You can't find a hint of where that cloud once was. When the wind blows and the sun shines, and it evaporates, gone. Not a hint of where it once was, vanished. They shall not be found. But you say, I long for that. I see them. Satan reminds me daily. May your soul cling to this, for I will pardon them. There is forgiveness to be found with thee. Oh, there is forgiveness. Oh, may you be found pleading for it, asking and receiving, seeking and knocking, oh, and entering in, knocking at that door, the Lord Jesus Christ himself, who says, I am the door. If any man knock, I will open unto him. Oh, that promise, that the promises in the word of God. You know, friends, may you be led to plead them at the throne of grace. May you be able to take the word of God and plead it at his feet, pleading that word that he said, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Then knock and keep knocking. Oh, the promises to those that knock. Knock and keep knocking and give him no rest. Give him no rest. Importunate prayer, wrestling prayer. What wonders are done. Wrestling, earnest prayer. Lord, give us that earnest desire. Make it the one thing needful with me this evening. Oh, but leave me not out. May I be found numbered amongst those whom thou hast said, I will pardon and I will reserve. I will pardon them whom I reserve for myself, in heaven at last, at the marriage supper of the Lamb, to be numbered amongst them for eternity, singing praises round his throne. Alleluia. The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. In those days, and in that time, saith the Lord, the iniquity of Israel shall be sought for, and there shall be none, and the sins of Judah, and they shall not be found, for I will pardon them whom I reserve. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Amen.
Collections last Lord's Day amounted to £735, for which we're very thankful. God willing, Mr. Pack is expected to preach on Wednesday evening, as Mr. Jempson is too ill. May the Lord be with him. And Mr. Robert Field is engaged to preach next Lord's Day. And our friends at Fenstanton hold their Thanksgiving service on Tuesday and St. Tithes on Thursday evening. Let us close with hymn 669. Poor sinners sunk in sin's tremendous cell, tormented with the fiery darts of hell, on Jesus call, though wretched be your case, he came the lost to seek and save by grace. 669.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the fellowship and communion of the Holy Spirit, rest and abide with us each, now and for evermore. Amen.